Thank you very much. Yes, there's some of you that know me, so for you, hello. For those that don't know me, pleased to meet you. I'm Daniel. I'm married to Villa. You'll see her at the back as well. And there's four little children running around as well. That's mine as well. So, yeah, very energetic lot. They like to sing, they like to dance, like to act, and that's what happens in our house. It's one big musical from day in, day out. And sometimes it's a comedy and sometimes it's a drama, but there's always something going on in our house. And yeah, another big thing in our house is movies. And both myself and my wife, we both love movies. My wife actually studied a drama degree, so she knows a lot about all the ins and outs about how movies work, which is very interesting. And myself, I love movies as well, watching it, but because I've got children, the age 6 to 11, most of our movies in the house is currently animated. So if you ask me about the current blockbusters out there, I don't know. But I can tell you what's the great animations out there, and I can probably sing all the theme songs as well. So, yeah, just on that trend, while I was preparing for the sermon, I was just going into the movies and the movies that I like, and what messages do movies actually portray and give us. And actually, if you go and have a look at movies, there's a few trends that run. There's a few themes that run through the movies. And I picked up one, and that's connected to my sermon tonight, is the idea of vengeance, of avenging something. And I mean, I even went and you can go in Google. You can go in 50 movies about vengeance, and then there's more than 50 that pops up. There's a lot like The Count of Monte Cristo is about vengeance, Four Feathers. So you get a lot of movies. It's either the villain that got hurt and now he's out for vengeance and there's a hero that's trying to stop him. Or there's even a hero that has got hurt, that something happened in his life and his whole drive in life is to see vengeance and justice. And one of the great movies, I put it up there, probably gives away my age as well, it's Gladiator. And the main storyline of Gladiator is vengeance, because it's a story about this Roman general, played by Russell Crowe, of course, when he was young. And it's all about this guy that an emperor is jealous of his success, and this emperor goes and murders his family, strips him of his land, and ends up selling him as a slave. And then the whole storyline, the whole process of this movie is him working this path towards getting justice and vengeance for what has happened to him. And I'm going to try. I've memorized the line. There's always in these movies, there's these classic lines where the actor looks at the camera, and then this classic scene where eventually he's in the gladiator ring and this emperor that caused his pain is in front of him. Of course, he's wearing a mask. And this emperor says, "Take off your mask. I want to see who you are." And I'm going to try and say these words. So he says, then he takes off his mask and he says, "My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the northern armies, general of the Phoenix legion, and servant of the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius." And then comes, and every time I hear it, the hairs in my neck stand up. Then he says, "I'm a father of a murdered son, a husband of a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next." And then, of course, it's the final showdown. And at first, you kind of, because we like these tough guys as well. I think Russell Crowe doesn't look too bad in a gladiator outfit as well. But then if you really think about it, it's actually a very sad story. Because this guy, this general, spends so much time and effort to find vengeance and justice for the hurt that was caused him. And then the sad part, in the end, he actually dies in the process of getting his vengeance. Sorry, apparently spoilers. Sorry. But the end is it's so sad because he spent all this time hunting this one person. And it ends up in his death. And yeah, no further spoilers what happens in the end. It seems very romantic what happens in the end. But it's actually very sad. And I was reminded in the week while preparing for the sermon, just about this thing about vengeance and seeking vengeance. And we're busy, I think you guys are also busy working through the, what's it, Lectio Divina, where we take scripture and we basically meditate on scripture and then try and hear from God and what God wants to tell us through the scriptures. And at the moment, I'm in Genesis 4. And I tell people about Genesis 4, and they're like, okay, how do you meditate on Genesis 4? Because it's a story of a few people and there's genealogies. But then I hit this one. It's Genesis 4, verse 23 to 24. And this reminded me of Gladiator. And this is the person here is Lamech. He's a descendant of Cain. And it's him speaking, and he's speaking to his wives. It was interesting because he says, Ada and Zillah, hear my voice. It's kind of this guy speaking to his wives and like pointing the finger and giving the idea of, hey, you better be in line. Opas. Because his words is this. He says, I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for striking me. He says, if Cain's revenge is sevenfold, then Lamech's is 77-fold. And this is interesting. This is this character, Lamech, that boastfully says to his wives, probably to keep them in line and keep everyone around them in line, to say, I am the strong person and no one will hurt me. And if you even just strike me, I'll kill you. You dare not touch me. And as I was meditating on this, is how do you meditate on this kind of scripture? And as God is faithful, the Holy Spirit dropped in me. But Jesus actually quotes him, or quotes the scripture. And the quote is in Matthew 18. This is an interesting part of the scripture. Because I told my wife I was speaking about just working through the scripture. And I said to her, I've come across Peter so many times. And Peter here is going to speak again. And we always say, as teachers in the room, we always say there's no stupid questions. But I've come to realize that Peter is that guy that asks stupid questions. And here's one of them again, because he asks stupid questions because he keeps on wanting to pop up and say, Afrikaans is so great, it says, hey, kyk hoe oulik is ek. Look at me. And he keeps on doing that and he puts his foot in it. And here's another example where Peter comes because Jesus has been speaking about forgiveness. How you should forgive the people around you, the people that offend you, that hurt you. And here Peter comes after the speech by Jesus and him wanting to be kind of, hey, I've got this down, Jesus. And he asks Jesus, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus turns around and he says, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. And depending on your translation, some the ESV translated as 77 times. Some translated as 7 times 70. The words of Lamech. And here's the interesting part, because Jesus wants to go to that scripture and he's calling up this reference of Lamech, this person that says that if anyone touches me, anybody hurts me, if anything is done to me, I will avenge them. And Jesus is calling up and says, just like Lamech said, this is how much times I will avenge myself. Jesus is going, but that's how much you need to forgive. And to understand what Jesus is at here about forgiveness, we need to understand what Lamech is on about. And Lamech is on about Cain, which is his forefather. Because this is what Peter asks about the 7 times, and then we've got the 70 times, 7 times. And what we have here is Cain, because in Genesis 4, just a few verses up, we hear the story about Cain. Maybe some of us know the story, but it's about two brothers, Cain and Abel. And both of them, Cain and Abel, making sacrifices to God. God accepting Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And Cain looking at this situation where God is actually blessing Abel, but not him. And jealousy rising up in him. Looking upon what's happening to Abel and wanting that as well. And then God coming to Cain and said, Cain, watch out. Watch out. Sin is crouching at your door and it wants you. Be careful. God warning Cain about what can happen. And of course, the story goes on and it says, in the field, Cain was busy speaking to his brother and the jealousy came up again and he murdered his brother. And then he goes away and God comes to confront Cain. And he asks Cain, where's your brother? But God doesn't know where Abel is. But he knows. And confronting Cain and then punishing Cain and saying, go. Go out into the wilderness. I send you away. And then you have Cain that says, no, God, this is too rough. This is too a heavy punishment for me to bear. And here we get this glimpse of a merciful God, even to Cain, who I've always thought as this, one of these evil characters in the Bible, a person beyond the mercy of God. God still comes and is merciful to Cain. And he says, you know what I'll do is I'll give you a sign. We don't know what the sign is. The Bible isn't explicit on it. But he says, and you know what this sign, what the sign means is if anyone touches you, and eventually it says, if anyone kills you, I, Yahweh, will avenge your death. And for Cain, this is supposed to be that moment of turning in faith and saying, you know what, the creator of the heavens and the earth has given me a sign, and that sign must be so powerful that no one wants to harm me. Cain is left with a choice to trust God or not. And then there's a very inconspicuous little scripture that says, and Cain built a city. So we can think, oh, it's just a city like we have. But actually what Cain did, the word for city there means houses with a wall around. And you see here that Cain goes and says, no, God, your sign to me to protect me is not enough. I'm going to protect myself. I'm going to build a wall. Your 7 times revenge is not enough. I don't trust you, God. I don't like the deal that you gave me. And he goes and he builds a city to protect himself. And then we go on to Lamech. And this is what he is quoting. He's quoting and said, the revenge of Cain is 7 times. He's quoting and saying that God will avenge Cain 7 times over. But you know what? I will avenge 70 times that. And Lamech standing up in arrogance and say, I don't trust God to protect me. My violence, my strength, my reputation as this powerful warrior, and my actions, I just killed a man just for striking me. That'll be enough to protect me. And he says, vengeance is mine. Not trusting God, but just like Gladiator saying, I will have my vengeance. But the interesting part is, I want to put up Deuteronomy 32. This is God speaking to the Israelites. He says, vengeance is mine, and recompense for the time when their foot shall slip. This is God speaking to the Israelites, saying, if anyone does anything around you against you, vengeance is mine. And the Hebrew is interesting, because the sentence there is all about ownership. God owns vengeance. Doesn't belong to us, belongs to God. My message is that I think this is why we struggle to forgive. And this is why Jesus is saying to Peter, you have to forgive 70 times 7. I hope I did the math right. 490 times. But it's not about 490 times. It's Jesus saying, vengeance is mine, not yours. It's not yours to seek. It's not yours to own. It's mine. Trust me to avenge what happened to you. And in my meditation on this scripture, I realized that's why I struggle to forgive. Because I still want vengeance. I still want justice for myself. Someone does something to me. Someone hurts me. Someone does something justified for me to be angry, to be hurt. And just like Lamech or Cain, is I don't trust God to avenge what happened to me. I want to see what happens. Just like Gladiator is, I will have my vengeance. And I feel our first step towards forgiveness is letting go of the right to avenge. To our right to think how this vengeance and justice should play out. How someone must be held accountable for what they had done. But then we are just like Cain and just like Lamech. And we don't trust that God will, in His infinite wisdom, bring those people to account. That He will avenge what has happened. So my first that I want you to just evaluate is are you currently holding a grudge or grudges? Is there people that you struggle to forgive? Is there someone that you want to see come to accountability for what happened? What happened to you? Because today is God saying, vengeance is mine, not yours. I will dish out vengeance as I see fit. And our first step is to stand in faith that God will deal with that situation. So the next question is, why? Why is this vengeance so important for God? Why can't we hold on to vengeance? Why can't we live with unforgiveness? Why does He want us to forgive? Why is it so important to God? Why doesn't He want us to be like Cain or like Lamech? If you read further in Matthew 18, Jesus gives us the answer. After Peter had asked his stupid question and Jesus had given him the answer, Jesus tells a parable. Now, I don't know about you guys, but there's a few chapters in the Bible that I am very careful of, that I don't read very much because it's confronting. It's hard. Matthew 18 is one of those. I think Matthew 27 is also. There's a few others that if you read it and you really meditate on it, it just confronts you where you are at. The reality of being human. And Matthew 18 is one of those. And here at the end of Matthew 18, Jesus tells this parable, and it's the parable of a king. And He says, He likens the kingdom of God. So this is how the kingdom of God works. He says, the kingdom of God is like a king. And the king had a lot of people that was indebted to him. And the king decided to go and send out his servants and say, okay, you go with my list of who are the people that owe me money, because I want to gather some money. Go out, here's the list, bring them to me. And then Jesus tells that this one man is brought before the king, and he owes the king 10 lifetimes worth of money. Something like 100 talents or 1,000 talents. And if you do the math, it's like 10 lifetimes worth of salary. And my first question that I asked is, okay, if it's that kind of amount of money, how did he spend it? If it's 10 lifetimes worth of money, what did he spend it on? But anyway, so the king comes, brings him before him. This guy comes and says, listen here, there's no chance that I'm going to repay this. It's going to take me 10 lifetimes to repay you, and I've only got one. And then in verse 27, you get this king. And the king says, and out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him his debt. Cleared his debt. Wrote it off. Pulled a line through it. You don't owe me anything. Go. Be free. Your debt is paid. And I, at this point, you would imagine that this guy would be kind of, yay, happy about this. I don't owe this money anymore. I'm free. My debt has been paid. But unfortunately, this is not what Jesus tells. He says, but when that same servant went out, I mean, he probably just left the palace. He found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Now, 100 denarii is snoopy geld. It's not a lot of money. Not a lot of money in comparison, of course. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. That he was so after his money that he was choking this person. Imagine that. And of course, this is Jesus confronting his disciples here, asking them, are you like this? Are you like this man who stood before the king, owing 10 lifetimes worth of debt, and the king writing it off? And then you go out and ask others for small change. And this is Jesus' answer. He says, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And the reason why this thing about not taking vengeance, not claiming justice, not claiming to see it before your eyes, to forgive, is locked in this scripture. But Jesus says, have mercy, forgive, because you received mercy and I have forgiven you. And it's so powerful, because this is why, going back to Cain and Lamech, why it's all about not to be like them, but actually to be like God. Because Jesus wants to say, we forgive, we have mercy, so that we can portray to the world God. It's one part of how we are light and salt to the world. So Jesus isn't saying to the disciples, it's part of it, yes, you have been forgiven much, so forgive. But he's not saying try your best to forgive these people just because for forgiveness sake. But forgive because I forgive. And when you forgive, you show that I am a God who forgives. If you are merciful to the people around you, you show the world that I am merciful. And so you can draw it wider. This is an aspect where we represent God. That our forgiveness, our willingness to forgive, is connected to our willingness to portray God to the world. And in my meditation, this was the thing that struck me. Is that if I don't forgive, I don't show Jesus to the world. Because in Luke 23, these words that Jesus spoke on the cross while hanging there, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But even in that moment, Jesus hanging there asked the Father to forgive. In a sense, him forgiving the people around him. So we forgive because God forgives. And we forgive and forgive little because we have been forgiven much. I want to end off with a story. I wanted to play the song, but probably YouTube copyright prevents me. But some of you probably know the singer Matthew West. Quite a while back, I went and Googled it. This is, I think, 7 or 8 years ago. He wanted to bring out a new album, and he decided what he would do is he would ask his fans to write him letters. And he wanted to use the letters of these stories of people. People must share their testimonies and their stories with him. And he wanted to use these stories and testimonies as a basis and inspiration for his new album. And then he got this one letter, and it's from a lady called, I think it's Kate Rainier was the lady's name. And the story goes that this lady had a daughter, a young daughter of high school age, and this daughter and a friend was driving home from church. And they got sideswiped by a drunk driver. Both the girls were killed, but the drunk driver survived. And the drunk driver was a 26-year-old man, was a student coming home from a party, having a few too many, being so drunk, of course making a few stupid mistakes, sideswiping the car and killing two people. And Kate, she tells the story of how she was so enraged and she wants justice and vengeance for the death of her daughter and the friend. And she does everything in her power so that this guy can have the hardest sentence that is possible on him. She goes through the court case and eventually he is convicted. He's convicted and he... His sentence is 22 years in prison. And she tells a story. She says that here's this man in prison. She doesn't feel better. She kind of got a vengeance, but it doesn't fix the hurt inside. And she says she starts wrestling with God. And eventually God says, well, forgive him. And she says it was one of the hardest things to do. And she works through this process of forgiving this man. Eventually she does, and she starts visiting him in prison. Starts this relationship with this guy. Going back. Eventually, feeling the mercy grow in her. And the amazing thing, she tells the story how eventually she leads this guy to Christ, how he becomes saved. Then she decides, well, This guy went in when he was 26. He's coming out then he's 48. His life's over if he comes out. She will do everything in her power to get his sentence shortened. And she starts fighting to get this guy's sentence shortened. First thing that happens, it gets reduced to, I think, 10 years. Then eventually he comes up for parole. She sits in the hearing. She testifies, and he gets released. And this was 7 years ago. They have a road show together where they travel and minister to people about forgiveness. Matthew West reads this, and you can go and listen to the song. The song is called Forgiveness. And I just want to put up there, here are the words, I'm going to read it to you. This is the opening lines. It's the hardest thing to give away and the last thing on your mind today. It always goes to those who don't deserve. It's the opposite of how you feel when the pain they caused is just too real. It takes everything you have to say the word forgiveness. And here Kate stands, inspires these words. And you read those words. And maybe you hear and you agree with the words, I can't forgive. Maybe you're sitting here, say, Daniel, you don't know what happened to me. Yes, I don't. But I want this evening to say, grab hold of the promise that God made to Cain. Because God put a seal on you, the seal of the Holy Spirit, a promise. Yes, if you read Cain, it doesn't guarantee that life is going to be easy for Cain. Doesn't mean that there won't be troubles for Cain. It doesn't mean that there is no hurt for Cain. But there's a promise that God will walk in and bring justice. Might not be the way you think it should be. It's like this gate at the end, she says, I stop short from wishing that this boy would die. And I wanted God to avenge. But my daughter's death was avenged on the cross. God forgave him, and I will too, so that I can show him who my God is. My call is today, grab hold of the promise that God will avenge your hurts and forgive, because then you show the world that we have a God that forgives. Amen. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come before you. We come before you like that servant before the king. We come before you as servants with 10 lifetimes worth of debt. And just like that servant, we throw ourselves at the mercy of the king. But then we stand in amazement as we stand up and as you say, you are forgiven, my child. God, I pray and I ask you that there are people here tonight that are struggling to grab hold of your forgiveness, to grab hold of your mercy. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will come and you will reveal your mercy to them. This Holy Spirit, grow and cultivate mercy in our hearts for one another and for the world out there. Help us to grab hold of the promise that God will avenge us 7 times over. We don't have to worry about vengeance. We don't have to worry about justice. You will take care of that. So I want to make this invitation tonight. You struggling with forgiveness. First, I feel God saying there's people that are struggling with His forgiveness. That you're in that place where you have no idea. It's like you're telling God, God, you don't know what I've done. So that is you, just in response, respond to God and say, God, show me your forgiveness. Show me your mercy. Ask the Holy Spirit to grow a capacity to understand God's forgiveness for you. Because you can't forgive if you don't understand His forgiveness. If you don't realize how much you are forgiven, you can't forgive. Reach out to God. Receive His forgiveness. And also, there's a group. You're struggling to forgive other people. And maybe you don't even realize it. But you know, there's these people that you're in their presence or they talk and it hurts. And you are justified in your hurt. But you just don't get yourself. That's the words, you just don't get yourself to forgive. I want you to also cry out to God and say, God, I surrender my vengeance to you. I surrender my desire to see justice come for this situation. I want you to declare to God that vengeance isn't yours, vengeance is His. He avenges. If Daniel, you can just play in. So, I just want to, while Daniel is just going to play, is just run through, let God reveal the unforgiveness. All these things that go together, unforgiveness, bitterness, hatred, anger. You're saying to yourself, why isn't anything happening to that person? They're just continuing. Surrender it to God. Give Him back His vengeance. So if that is you, if you feel that you need ministry, that you so want to forgive this person, I want to give you the opportunity just to do that. If you want to stand, you can stand. And I'll pray. Yes, Heavenly Father, we just bow before you. Bow before you, before our merciful God. And we thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your endless mercy towards us. Help us this week. Holy Spirit, help us just to carry that mercy with us through the week. Help us to receive the mercy from you. Help us to receive the forgiveness from you. And then to live mercy and live forgiveness. And I ask and I pray that we will represent you to the world who really needs you. That we can represent your love and your mercy and your forgiveness. So that when people are around us, they will know you. That we will carry the scent of Jesus. Scent of mercy, of love and forgiveness.